This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another Labor of Love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American History and an American Government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much and hope to meet you soon.
All right, well, welcome to everybody who's here today. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I'm very happy to be here. I think I started the last presentation without telling you anything about myself. So I'm so excited about my topic, I just jumped right in. I am a longtime homeschool mom. I like to say I've homeschooled since the dinosaurs roamed the earth, since 1986. I don't even do the math on it anymore. I just tell you what year I started and let you do the math. And I was a reluctant homeschool mom. I have an education degree, so I didn't know who all you people were that were homeschooling your kids because, you know, I was a teacher. Well, God gave me God really orchestrated my life where He prepared me for the children that He was going to give me as a parent. And those children didn't know what was going to hit them, of course, at the beginning, because I tried to make home like school, instead of looking at homeschool for what it was. So those first two had a lot of different things that we tried out and that didn't work really well. And so my background was in learning disabilities, and I had a child that I call, does not color within the lines, and that was my oldest son, Neil, and he was really interested in science. And I thought anyone who did science had to be a scientist because I didn't like science as a student, as a teacher, or as a home education parent. And so I found that the Lord slowly showed me that I needed to take my eyes off of some of the things that I had planned and allow Him to plan for my life. So I am married to the love of my life, who really was another gift from God. And Jeff and I have been married going on 33 years. I think this year will be 34. And so we have five children. Two are adults. I have one 18-year-old who just graduated from home. And then I have a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old that I'm still schooling. So when I look at home education and I look at some of what is expected, I look at it through the eyes of goals and objectives and that sort of thing. And I'm not really a goal-oriented person for myself. But when it comes to education, I have these goals that I want to reach for my kids. So I always thought anything extracurricular was not super important, even though I enjoyed it. So when Meredith gave me this wonderful topic, I said, okay, Lord, you obviously must want me to talk on this topic. So this is the first time I'm giving this session. But when I started looking at it, I thought, wow, you know, sometimes even if we try to mess up and we really love the Lord, He just kind of protects us and keeps us going. So I have a little bit, you know, my whole life is a testimony. And so I want to say that, you know, there's some quotes in here and they're just me thinking out loud, but one of them is, prayer is the beginning and the end of everything we think, say, or do as a Christian. So that's what I'm going to say. Start out with that. Start out with prayer when you think of electives. When you look at your high school list of what you are supposed to have, like, you know, your, and I'll go through that, your sciences and so forth. You will find that a lot of places can be geared to homeschoolers and you can still get a credit. For example, now, after many years of homeschooling, I look at something we want to study and then I go look to see if there's a course code for it. You know, Florida, we have these course codes. You can do that. You can figure out what it is you want that class to look like for your child. And I'll give you some examples of that with some of the things that we've done that I would consider, you know, extracurricular but counted for school. So I look at one of the things that has been an underlying, if you wouldn't want to call it foundation for my family, and that is my core values. You know, what are your core values and how does that measure up? And so you want to look at that. The second thing you want to look at is what you need to have for graduation. And I know there's been some other sessions that have talked about that, so I won't go into it. But look at the beginning and look at what you need to have to graduate. So I know that there's a lot of things that are school focused, and let me go back here. Yeah, so we have a lot of things that we have to do. So in our high school years, you have to have math, literature, writing, history, Bible, so forth, so on. To graduate in Florida in particular, you have to have between 18 and 26 hours. You need community service, and you may have as a goal that you want to go to college. So if that's a possibility, you need to study for SAT, ACT prep, or you may be gearing up for work, or you may not know, your student may not know what they want to do. So one of the things that we did was shadowing. My daughter thought at one point she wanted to be an investigative reporter. I think it was reading too many mystery books. And so she thought, well, private eye, I don't really want to go into the, you know, being a policeman, but, you know, it would be kind of cool to be, you know, the person, you know, recording what's going on. And so she shadowed one of those people, and she found that there was a lot of lunches with the mayor and, you know, other people in the community. And she thought that was, they talk about golf, Mom, and it's so boring, you know. So it wasn't this high life that she was thinking about, you know, with her pad and paper sneaking around corners, you know, just recording the story. It was more than that. It was a lot of relationships. It was talking with people who might know something that might have happened and so forth and so on. And also, you know, finding out about the water system or the sewage or, you know, improprieties really was not a high point. So she realized early that was not something she was going to do. Some other child thought, well, I might want to be a doctor. And one of our friends was a doctor, so I introduced them to each other, and this friend was an orthopedic surgeon. And so he knew after shadowing, you know, Dr. Bob Martinez, that he did not want to be an orthopedic surgeon, you know. So I think that helps, but you can also use those, if you're creative, as extracurricular, which is why I say, you know, having the overall of the school focus is important. My little beeper bopper thing doesn't, it's not forwarding again. Okay, so again, look at your core values and then look at your goals. Your individual family purpose for homeschooling is often forgotten due to the goals of college and work. I know when my kids were younger, you know, we were so focused on, you know, so many great and hands-on and learning types of things that when it came to high school, I mean, I've heard parents say, oh, we're starting high school, now real school begins. Like, well, what have you been doing all these other years? You know, now all of a sudden, you know, we're going to be done soon. So it's just the real. So look at these and don't let those be forgotten. And then write out your goals for your kids. Like each year, my husband and I have, you know, this dinner date where we talk about each of our children. And whereas, you know, being at a restaurant isn't really conducive for a lot of prayer at that point, because we like to pray for our kids together too before our school year. But we talk about what goals we want for them or what character qualities that we think need work. And, you know, we've been talking about some of the different things with teens and anger and so forth. And I know for one of our children, that was one of the things, how to deal with being angry. You know, he's the youngest and he just hit 13. And, you know, my 18-year-old used to be able to push him around and everything. And he was happy-go-lucky and didn't care. And now he's really fighting back and argumentative. So we had to talk to him and work out some things that are going to help direct that energy that he has. And so I'll talk about that in a minute. So what do you want for your children? What character qualities do need work, and which skills do you want to increase? You know, for some of my kids, I look at the high school years and I say, okay, we really, like one of the things I wanted my children to graduate from high school with an understanding that if they heard phrases from famous books, that they would know what that was. Like, it was the worst of times, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. You know what book that was from. Or as some of my kids would say, well, I know what movie that's from, you know, A Tale of Two Cities. But I wanted them to know so that they're not growing up like my cousin, who is a high-end New York attorney. And he, when he first passed the bar and got, and he went to public school, and he went to lunch with these other attorneys, and they're talking about the Civil War, or they're talking about the Constitution, you know, which he understood a lot more about Constitution, but he was saying, I missed a whole 10 years of my life with history, because I don't know what these guys are talking about. And he wanted to know, is there some book out there that will catch me up? And there actually is a book. It's like everything you want to know about history, or, you know, it's from a secular perspective. But anyway, there are some things, but we don't want our kids. That was one of my goals. That may not be your goal for your child, but that was one of mine, that my kids would be articulate. They would know what these things were. So again, how do your core values measure up with what you want to do? And that's important. Have you ever written a family mission statement? I heard this somewhere. I wish I could remember where I heard it, because I'd like to give that person credit. But we've written a family mission statement. You know, in business, you're told to write a mission statement so that you can define your goals and where you're going. So do that, you know, do that with your kids, do it with your husband first, your spouse, or, you know, or you and the Lord. And then, you know, show it to your children and say, what do you think? So it is basically a synopsis of a goal or purpose, you know, and like our mission statement starts with, as for, you know, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then you can, you know, kind of paraphrase scripture if you want, and then add whatever it is you want to add to that. So as long as you have that as an overarching goal, because there are so many opportunities that we don't want to find ourselves doing something just for the sake that we say we're doing something. Like, I have a friend, I love her to death, but I say, you know, you're what make homeschoolers weird. I mean, her kids take Chinese and fence. Who takes Chinese and fences? You know, I mean, it was almost like, let's try the weirdest things we can, you know, but her kids were interested in those things. But so make sure that is, you know, kids will say, well, I want to learn Chinese, you know, for whatever reason. And so make sure that that fits in with what you're going, because then you can say, okay, well, let's see how it fits in with where we want to go with our family. Okay. What is your child interested in? Again, you know, the friend of mine whose kids were interested in learning Chinese. One child was interested because they had a Chinese exchange student. You know, that makes sense. So what are they interested in? What are their goals and desires? And then, you know, is this something that you can do? And how important is extracurricular? And like I have to tell you, you know, for me, it was difficult because if it's not academic, sometimes I think, you know, we don't need to do it. The next thing is once you see what they want to do, what you want for them to do, it's time to make it happen, right? And so it's time to look at some things that are available. And if they're not available, you do what any good homeschool mom does, is you look for your resources or you do it yourself. I mean, how many of you have started teaching at co-ops because there wasn't something available to you, you know? It's that kind of a thing, you know, that if it's not available, no big deal. We're homeschoolers. We'll go create it ourselves. And so, you know, my sister-in-law started sewing. And I said, you've never sewn before. Why are you going to start sewing? She looked at me. I'm a homeschool mom. You know, like I'm not a dummy. She had a college degree. She goes, I'm not a dummy. And I tried. My mother can sew. My mother could sew anything. And I tried to make maternity clothes. That was, you should have seen how it looked. And I have a college degree, so I'm not going to say, you know, for those of you that sew, I think that's a gift from God. I don't have that gene. I glue, though. I can hot glue, and I'm good with crafts. I can bake you anything. Oh, gosh, we all have different gifts. So let's look at these things that are available to our children. All it takes for half of these things is money, and quite a bit of it. So there's voice and guitar and piano, and there are even homeschool bands now. And then there's art, drawing, and painting. One of my friends who's a graduated homeschool mom, Sharon Jeffis with Visual Mana, she has a group of teenagers that are very gifted, and they go and do murals. They'll do murals in a place of business when it just gives the kids great experience. So there's all kinds of things you can do, group projects in that sense. You know, of course, there are the languages. There are all kinds of sports. I met a mom not too long ago whose daughter is a figure skater, and that's why she homeschools. So there are, you know, the gymnastic kids that are in competitions, or the figure skaters, or the, you know, hockey players even now, that spend a lot of time. And so for them, it's in reverse. You know, homeschooling is something you have to do because of your sport. I think for most of us, it's to, you know, for well-rounded kids. And I will tell you that I went to school and graduated and did not, until I got to college, did not have any my only extracurricular was the business world because I worked in my dad's restaurant. So I got to see how things were ordered. I got to see the salesmen get yelled at because they didn't bring the right thing. I got to go to the grocery store and buy 35 whole chickens when you're a 16-year-old because I could drive. I had just gotten my license, and my dad gave me some cash and said, go to the grocery store and get, you know, however many chickens. And of course, the person behind me was somebody I knew from school. You know, I'm mortified with all these chickens because the delivery didn't come. So, I mean, I learned a lot of things, but I didn't have a lot of the arts. So when I went to college, I signed up for everything. I was in every intramural sport, and I don't play sports. That was fun. I was in every club. I was in a sorority because these were things I felt like I had missed as a teenager. And believe me, I did not miss anything because I found myself volunteering, and before I know it, I'm president of everything. And that's because a lot of people, what is the statistics? It's something like, you know, 10% of the people will do all the work. And I was one of those people that would volunteer. So anyway, a little segue there. Okay, so there's ministry types of things, and then there's all kinds of things for communication. One of the things that I find with homeschool kids is that it is difficult sometimes, unless they don't have that peer pressure of getting up in front of a group, unless you're in a very engaging church where maybe you do some things or you're in drama and things like that. So for our family, communications is very important. So one of the things we did was join Toastmasters. And we ended up with these delightful people, elderly people from Toastmasters that came and worked with our kids. And we did it within the auspices of 4-H. So there's a lot of things that you can do. And that child that was in Toastmasters ended up becoming a communication major. So for my children now that are doing communication type things, because I do podcasting and a radio show, they are producing a radio show. It may never hit the airwaves, but they are working on it. And part of it is they're at the ages where they don't want anyone to know it's them. And it's really funny. So unfortunately, and that's something as a mom that I have to be able to respect their wishes too. Again, we're going to go back to prayer. Prayerfully seek and ask the Lord what He wants for your family. If there is not an opportunity, pray. And if it really is from the Lord, He'll provide it. I really and truly believe that. I know for my family, it has always happened. If it's something that I've wanted for them and it hasn't happened, then it probably was for the good. So that's how I look at things, and it makes life a lot easier. I'm going to talk about this in a really personal sense, and that is for one of my daughters, who at 12 told me that she wanted to write. While reading and spelling were not her strengths, I think I wept when she told me she wanted to write her book. Well, she wanted to write her book because her mom was writing books and publishing, so why not, right? But she could tell stories, so I really encouraged her, and what ended up happening was we wrote a series of novels that are still in print. So not only that, but because we wrote these novels, we had to do a lot of research into anthropology, paleontology, archaeology, and in this handout, there's some pictures of her in black and white, filthy. This is now a mommy of expecting her sixth child. And so God was preparing her back then not to be afraid of dirt and little ones. But she was interested in archaeology. So when she went to college, she was a communication major with a minor in archaeology. And so that came out of homeschooling and writing, and then it flowed into college. So I just was amazed. And one of the things, we wrote the second novel, and it was a dinosaur dig. And we had never been to the mountains. We live in Florida. We had never been on a dinosaur dig. And so we did a lot of research, and it was really fun. The first book and the second book are set in Florida. The first book and the third book. And the third book's in the Keys, and we'd spent a lot of times in the Keys, and it deals with scuba diving, and the kids had done scuba diving. I forgot to add that. Did you know scuba diving is half a college credit? Even if you can get certified as in scuba. And Christina got her rescue dive. I think she got to the third level. But in the second book, everything was research. Well, after she wrote that book, she got a call from a young man whose mother made him read the book because he doesn't read fiction. And he called, and it turned out that his family did dinosaur digs, and she got invited to go on one after the fact. How cool was that? I mean, she's got a lot of pictures, which was back before the day of digital cameras. So I think to get all those pictures at some point, we'll have to scan them in. But, you know, how cool is that? How God provided, you know, for that. So it was really neat. And then out of that, I wrote some books on teaching aspiring writers because of what we learned about writing and publishing. And so I have several books, Writing and Publishing, and then The Business Tips and Taxes for Writers was written by a friend of mine, Carol Topp, who's a homeschool mom graduate and CPA. And then we have a book, Reach for the Stars, which really explains the elements of fiction and how to write fiction well. So that's by Susan Marlowe. The other thing we do for us, pro-life is like our Christianity is something that our family has embraced, and something that our area churches, every Saturday they're at a clinic. They don't do abortions on Saturdays, but the churches have gotten together, and every Saturday they are at a church praying with people from the church because they want a pro-life message. And our area is really good about good posters, you know, because there are some posters that are heart-wrenching. And I love this one that says 1/3 of my generation is missing. It's a statistical fact. And when you see these young, vibrant kids holding these posters, it really has an impact. So this is faith, what I call faith in action, you know, so one of the things that we do. So when we do things like that, there's a lot more that goes along with it. And one area that we studied, and I made it an elective, is the constitutionality, can I say that, of abortion and how it came to pass. And that's a really interesting story. In fact, now they're coming out with books. And in Washington, D.C., there's a big pro-life rally that you never hear about in the news, but it is on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, which was Friday, this past Friday, so every January. And my sister-in-law and brother-in-law go up to Washington, D.C. I don't think they went this year, but my kids have wanted to go there and march. So that's important to us. That's an extra, you know, when you think of extracurricular, you think of, you know, these little sports things, but there's so much more, isn't there? Again, youth ministry, which I don't need to tell you about. Did you know that our churches send kids to Orlando? There's a big youth camp here for underprivileged, where they paint houses, they babysit kids at YMCAs, they do a lot of things. And Nick went to that. It's called the Catholic Heart Camp, and they go every year. And so that, you know, you don't think that there are missions in your own backyard, right? And we're taping this now in Orlando, so I don't even know if you guys know that there is a huge mission outreach here. So our Fort Myers kids come to Orlando. Probably your Orlando kids come to Fort Myers. The other really cool thing that happened out of this is my husband, through baseball, which I'll talk about in a little bit, met a gentleman who is a really strong Christian, and he's the head of the building department for Habitat for Humanity in Southwest Florida. And so my husband did some home inspections for them, and because they had bought some property, and now they're behind on their roofs. So Nick is working for his dad for Habitat for Humanity, but he's not getting paid. So that's community service. You know, so Nick's putting on these roofs because they don't want the people up on the roof. They can do the bottom, you know, part of it. So my husband's construction company is putting on some of these roofs, and, you know, Nick's able to get community service, and he's the one who thought of it. I thought, that son, that was brilliant, and we don't have to pay you? That's doubly brilliant. No, sorry. Okay, so look at your family mission statement and goals, and how does this fit in? Now, some people are into competition and some people are not, and I have to tell you a little story here. I really am a recovering anti-sports person. My husband played sports all through his upbringing. He went to college on a sports scholarship. He played for a farm team, played baseball, and he never really pushed our kids into playing sports. And the first two children played, but not like the last three have. And so the last three kids not only love it, but they go practice on their own. Nick at one point thought he wanted to play in college, and definitely does, and so does Michael. So what do you do with that? One of the things I will say is the good news about sports is that it really keeps the kids focused, because just like someone who is doing their hockey practice or their ice skating practice or whatever it is, this way they have to get their school done so that they have time to play. So the Lord again provided, and the local Baptist school allows homeschoolers to play. And Nick is just a blessing from the Lord. I can say, you know, each one of my kids, I could sit here and just tell you, you know, not that we don't argue, because there are those times. He's a really special child to me. And so when the Lord showed others how special he was, the first year he played for the school, he got most Christ-like. That was one of their awards. And I was so blown away by that, because you see things in your children and you think, does anybody else see this? And this coach saw that. And the next year he was some defensive something or other. And then the third year he played, because he only played 3 years, because mom was so reluctant that she didn't get the paperwork in time. And how did I know that there's this whole big ordeal that you have to sign him up by the school year? Well, we're homeschoolers. Do we really pay attention to the school year? So I signed him up in December. And he was not allowed to play for an entire year. So I ruined his first year eligibility. But he played and he was MVP his third year. And he loved it. And now he's going to go back and help them with coaching. And my youngest son is going to play there. And then I have Annie, who is another gift from the Lord. Annie's a really tough girl. She played baseball for quite a while until I decided, you know, Dad and I talked and she was done playing baseball. She grew a lot. You know, she's one of those really tall girls and all the boys are short. So she could out-hit them, out-run them, out, you know, pitch them. And so when she was 12, I said, okay, we'll start looking for softball. And that took me a whole another year to find softball. So she had never been on a softball field in her life until she walked on a softball field. And they say that there's this big, you know, thing to get used to, and God provided for her because her mom was so reluctant. So even though I'm reluctant in some ways, the Lord still allows it to be used for his good. And one of the things I will say about my girls, none of them have been really into the makeup or the boys or the dress, because they're so sports oriented. You know, I know there are girls on her team that have, they're decked out with the makeup and they go out there, and in Southwest Florida, within 30 minutes, it's all down your face, you know, and then they realize, oh, I guess I can't put on all this when I'm coming out here. So, you know, it's really helped them in so many ways. And then, you know, we have our youngest. And Mike's the only one who has consistently played All-Stars and did as well. And Nicholas did some. And, you know, there's a lot of politics that go into baseball. And we're older parents and we don't deal with politics well. So a lot of times I just walk away. But it has made Michael a really strong young man for that. And so we've had to make some decisions in that regard. I don't know that we're going back to play at that field yet. They've already had signups and they've already had tryouts, and Michael hasn't gone because his dad and I are not sure we can handle another year of it. Jeff's a lot better than I am. Men are just like, whatever, you know, and mommies aren't. So, but you know, I'm sharing this with you because the Lord can use these things however he wants, not only to grow our kids, but to grow our hearts. And I have grown so much through my children. And I know that they've been such a blessing in my life. And what some of you may not know is I have my two older children are 33, that's so old, and 31. And my youngest three are 18, 15, and 13. And the Lord had to change my mind about being open to life, because I wouldn't be standing here talking to you right now about homeschooling if I hadn't continued to have children. And so when the Lord took my heart and opened my mind and heart to his will for our family, these children have been such a blessing. And I can't even imagine life without them. And I know kids are given to us not for ourselves so that we can boast, but to glorify the Lord. And these guys love God. So I am just, I mean, all my kids really do. But I'm just so blown away by these three in particular. You know, they say things to me and I just say, wow, so many times, you know, that we hear things and they're sharing with me some things that are happening. Like one of the little boys on Mike's team, there's a lot of money in that family. And I've gotten to know the mother fairly well because she reminds me of my mother. My mother was from Italy and she's from another country. And she's one of these people that, you know, you walk into her house and the first thing she says is, "You look hungry." You know, it's like, how do you look hungry? You know, and she feeds you, which was exactly like my mother. So I just kind of connected with her, and she's about 10 years younger than I am. And yet her son has, you know, gotten into some areas, and Michael immediately knew in his spirit that, like I would say to him, "Do you want to have any kids over?" And he'd say no. And I'd say, "What about so-and-so?" And he'd say, "Definitely not." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Mom, you don't need to know." So of course I need to know. And so, you know, it took, and he's my date boy. You know, "Mike, who wants to go to the store with me?" Nobody. You know, at this point, Ann does now because she drives me everywhere. So she's ready to go. But, you know, Michael always does. "Mike, do you want to go get an ice cream cone?" "Yes." You know, Nicholas will say to me, "Mom, we don't need to spend the money." I'm like, "A McDonald's ice cream cone, Nicholas, please. You know, it's 50 cents. He's my frugal child. And Mike's like, "Yeah, you know, everything's, yeah." So we've had some ice cream, I call them the ice cream talks. And, you know, finally found out, and he said, "Mom, you know, he has a cell phone and he really should not have a cell phone." So I know, because my husband's there, there's no time for, you know, interaction. When we're at the house, they're outside on the trampoline, they're swimming in the pool, they're playing basketball, they're not up in the room, you know, because I'm really big on, no, you cannot go into your friend's rooms, that, you know, I just have this sense. So anyway, you know, so praise God for that. Okay, enough about my kids. Politics. You might want to help somebody get elected. You know, we had a couple of rallies and things going on. And the reason I'm showing you these pictures is because when one of my children took these pictures, I thought, oh my gosh, that is so artistic. And this is my child that loves photography. So that was one of Annie's electives, is photography. And she takes pictures all the time. She turns them into black and white. And there's a lot of bug pictures. I'm like, ooh, that was from our yard. But, you know, just really cool. And she's always, you know, like Jeff and I will be outside. And I mean, the bottom one, you can see how little I made this picture on the handout. But, you know, and I have no makeup on. And she's just like, "Oh, Mom and Dad, you look so great. Stand there. Let me take your picture." So we let her take our pictures. But, you know, it's just cool how these things happen. So we did a whole study on, you know, all of the things of dealing with photography. I can't even tell you what they are, but Anne studied them. So that was an elective. So there's a lot of things you can do with volunteering that can be electives, and they can count for school. You know, political election campaigns, for us, Habitat for Humanity, missions, food kitchen, church things. I mean, there are so many things that are available. Again, pray, ask the Lord, and just look for those opportunities. I told you the story about Christina and her shadowing the reporter. I told you the doctor story, the lawyer story. My niece was really very, very gifted academically. And so she was studying for the LSATs and the MCATs, I think it is, the medical and the law entrance tests at the same time. And so she actually passed both. So she could have gone into medicine or she could have become a lawyer. And she found that in shadowing both, that she had a bent for law. And so she's a Tampa attorney now, and she is family. She's in a pretty small law firm, but it's so nice having a lawyer in the family when I'm a publisher and sometimes I need to, you know, send her things, and she's really good at that. Nick really is geared toward more owning his own business, which I don't know where he gets that from, because at one point my husband and I mutually owned about five. We're now down to three. But, you know, I have a publishing business. My husband has a construction business. And right when my daughter was getting married, my husband came to me and said, would you please start a home inspection business for me? And, you know, I said, really? Right now? While we're planning the wedding? So I remember being in Tampa. We were camping for the week, calling and talking to people that Christina was sending me stuff for her wedding plans, while my husband was taking his test, you know, or his classes to become a home inspector. And we set up a company. So that was really fun. But, you know, so my son has grown up with that. And he, I mean, my parents own their own businesses. So at one point, my parents were both seamstresses and they sewed out of the basement in our house in Canada and kept very busy. I remember learning to sew, to hem, not the sewing machine. Sewing machine, I never was drawn to that. It was too loud, too noisy, and too fast. So I didn't. But, you know, so it might be business. Your child might be interested in that. Carol Topp has a podcast on our, we have an Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, Micro Business for Teens. And that was the elective that Nicholas took for his high school, for one of his high school years last year. So it was awesome. He could figure out what kind of business he wanted. He could create a business plan. He could, you know, look at that. And one of the things he was doing at the time was repairing small machines. And a friend of, two of our friends have lawn care businesses. So they said to Nick, you know, Jeff and I were saying, yes, this child can fix anything. So they said, hey, Nick, would you fix our, you know, our equipment? And he said, yes. And they said, well, how much do you charge an hour? And Nick was being, you know, he's a very quiet child, but he's really a tease. Nick lives for practical jokes. So Nicholas said $20 an hour. And he thought he was being all funny and that the guy was going to say, oh, really? You know, think again. And he said, really? I usually pay $60 to $80 an hour. That's awesome. Okay, when can you come? And he didn't bring one thing. He brought, like, you should have seen my backyard. You know, I've given up. We have 2.5 acres, a pond in the front, a swimming pool in the back, and it is definitely not your manicured lawn. Okay. It's just, Nick has this huge workshop that he has set up in our backyard. And, it's really interesting. And I'm just praising God that, our insurance renewal has just been going through automatically because I don't know what will happen if they come out and look at our yard. But he's had this thriving business, and he's got I forgot how much more he told me to buy a truck, you know, and he's done the math, you know, he kept finding him on Craigslist and used and everything else. And then I said to him, you know, look at how much a used truck is for the same, you know, not anything souped up $50,000. And he figured out if he just saved a little bit more money, he would be able to get a used truck. So, I mean, this is as a high school homeschooler, part-time doing this. So he's already learned entrepreneurial skills. This is, if you learn nothing else today, the biggest thing that I would recommend for any homeschool child that's kind of off topic, but you know, you can't think or mull over a problem or sort out a solution if you are so busy and there's not time. And I think one of the biggest perpetrators that Satan has allowed, you know, something that's happened in our life is we've gotten so busy. And I found even myself in business and having home businesses, you can't just leave. If, you know, yesterday afternoon on my way down here, my bookkeeper is doing our end of the year stuff and I'm meeting with my CPA next week. So she's texting me questions the whole time and I'm trying to get ready to come here and, you know, and my husband's asking me questions and we've been known to stay up late finishing things that have to be finished home inspection wise or whatever. And so for us, those downtimes are really, really important. You know, we try really hard to keep holy the Sabbath, you know, on Sunday for us. So if there is a way to just eke out that time where, you know, and I'm not talking about sitting around, you know, watching TV all day or, you know, whatever, but just like family time or even just downtime. As a family, we pray together as much as we possibly can every night. We are in on another, we have a two separate living rooms. So we're in the smaller living room, which I don't know what we were thinking. We built the house, we had two children, so we could all comfortably fit in there, and we can now, but there's just a room with couches and some things in there. I call it my nice living room. So we sit in there, and that's where we pray every night, and we just thank God for something. And I've been known, you know, my husband and I are tired, and we'll go to bed, and I'll see one of my children still sitting in there. You know, so it's just a time to encourage your kids to have that time to think, and, you know, whether it's even with their Bible time. You know, that if you're encouraging them to read scriptures and just say to them, you know, have a journal, not necessarily maybe to, you know, to write some things out, which is important as well, but just to think, and what are your ideas and what are your dreams and what are some things that you want to do? And that will help them flesh things out and figure things out and then be available to talk to them. Well, I just want to tell you a little bit about my books. I have a company, Media Angels, and it is a publishing company. So I have books and curriculum. I also, that were selected, which was a blessing from God, through Kathy Duffy's 100 and 101 top picks. So it's mediaangels.com. And then also we have our series of novels that Christina and I wrote. And the Truth Seekers Mystery Series, so that's also available on our website. And I have creation classes. So some of the parents that bought our book said, well, why can't you come and teach my classes to my kids? So I thought, wow, we have internet. We could do it virtually. So we did, and we created these classes. The creation science class is not broken up into age levels, but the anatomy and the astronomy classes have a younger and an older available. So some parents buy both and then they can use it with their older kids and their younger ones. And those are immediate download. And I really prayed this year, 2013, and I was running an Ultimate Homeschool Expo. It was really awesome. People like Israel Wayne and Meredith Curtis and Pastor Mike Curtis and some of the people that are here at the Finish Well Conference that are Katie Beth and Jenny Rose and a lot of the kids spoke for me virtually, but it was an awful lot of work and time. So I really prayed to the Lord and I said, okay, Lord, help. I need more of me and less. And so the Lord gave me this idea for this Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. So I picked up the phone and called some of my friends and they didn't say, you are nuts. They said things like, wow, I had a dream and I saw a microphone, but I didn't know what that meant. And I've been asking the Lord what that means. Or, you know, people like Israel who said, you know, I've been wanting to podcast and I want to start, but I, you know, wasn't sure when I was going to be able to. So I've given them this opportunity in this this network to do that. And so, you know, you're invited. If I can get to the next slide here. I think I have it. I'm trying to get, yeah, there we go. You're invited to come listen. It's entirely free. We have sponsors ads, so I wanted it to be totally free to homeschool moms and dads. Most of the of what you'll hear are like radio shows. So Meredith and I monthly, except for this next coming month, we usually do a lunch with Meredith and Felice, and we just pray and ask the Lord what topics, you know, to talk about, and we talk about them. And there's, I think we've already done three sessions that are available. I do Mondays at noon is when I do that. And then I do, it's called Vintage Homeschool Moms is the name of the podcast. And you can get it on your phone. We can make those, we can use technology for the glory of God. So if you have a smartphone, download a podcast app, and just search for the names. I don't think it's under the network. They're under the individual names. And each of the shows has its own podcast, so it has its own button on iTunes and on the Android phones. You can find it. And then we do current issues and the Constitution, and I'm the moderator of that show, and I do it with my brother-in-law. And you will, your kids or you, I mean, we have adults, it's really cute because my family, my extended family, my brothers and sister-in-laws listen to this and they're not even homeschooling anymore. They're done. But he'll say things like, get out your constitutions on, you know, let's look at Article 10. Let's look at what's happening today, current events, and we line that up with the Constitution and we look at it, and he will talk about it, and it is so good. Like last week's session, I kept thinking, everybody needs to hear this. Sometimes I have to edit things out so they're not up immediately, but we were even able to interview Dr. Ron Paul. And I didn't know my brother-in-law was a libertarian. So he was delighted because I said, well, guess what? We're going to have this opportunity. Are you okay with it? And he just thought I was going to do the interview. And I said, no way, you're doing it with me. So it worked out really well. And so that was just something again. And then the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show, where I interview different people within the homeschool world. And I'm starting right now within our Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. And I am always looking for really good podcast hosts. Right now, I do not have a link on the website, but hopefully will soon. So if you ever think of anybody who might do really well within the homeschool arena, I definitely want somebody who is familiar with homeschooling, preferably that homeschools. My brother-in-law never did homeschool. He said, you know, I won't tell you his age, but he's a retired teacher, and he teaches one class at the university. But, you know, they just didn't know about it then. But, you know, he's a real advocate for homeschooling, so it works out well. So anyway, thank you very much for listening, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.